Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nedarim Daf Mem Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah that you will find in the middle of the Omid. If you like, you can count 18 lines up from the bottom, or if you prefer, 9 lines before the Gemara lines get wide. The Mishnah will focus on what we refer to in one of our previous shurim as Matnas Beis Choron, the gift of Beis Choron. Beis Choron is the name of a place, and now the Mishnah. Hamudur hanome chavero, v'ein lo ma yochal. If a person is prohibited from benefiting from his friend, and he has no food, Nosno li'achir l'shum matana v'halo muter ba. So if we use our common example of A prohibited B from benefiting from him, and Mr. B has no food, Mr. A is concerned. So what does he do? He gives food to someone else as a gift, and Mr. B then is entitled to take from that food that was given to the outsider by Mr. A. So, of course, Mr. A cannot give the food directly to Mr. B. That would be a violation of the vow. But the Tanakhama says Mr. A can give the food to someone else, and Mr. B can benefit from the food, from the gift given to that outsider. Maisa be'echod, the Beis Choron. There was a story, an incident with someone in the town of Beis Choron. Shehoya oviv mudar heimenu hano. The father of our subject was prohibited from benefiting from his son. Vayamasi es bino, and the grandson was going to be married off. The Omar lechavero, and the father of the groom, says to a friend. Now, bear in mind, we're dealing with 3 generations here, and the grandfather cannot benefit right now from his son's holdings, from his son's properties, and in this case, from the meal that the son is going to be making for the grandson's wedding. That's a very uncomfortable situation. So, what is the solution? So, the father of the groom says to a friend of his, an outsider, Chotzer u'se'udo nesunim b'matono v'einon lefonecho ele k'deshi yovoi abo v'yoichal imonu b'se'udo. Now, from the way we're reading the Mishnah and the way some of the Meforshim take it, this was all stated explicitly. I am giving you the hall, like the wedding hall. The Chotzer is the courtyard where the wedding meal is going to take place. I'm giving you the courtyard and the meal to you as a gift, and the only reason you're going to be receiving this as a gift from me is so that my father can come and partake of the wedding feast. Omar, the friend, then said, "Im sheli heim, if they're mine, as you say, then I am dedicating them, I am sanctifying them to heaven." Meaning I'm dedicating the chotzer and the meal to the Beis HaMikdash. That which is mukdash l'shamayim, that which is sanctified or dedicated, is something that no one will be able to benefit from. That no one will be able to derive personal benefit from. Omar le, so the father of the groom heard this and he says, "Lo nosati loch es sheli shetagdisham l'shamayim. I didn't give you my things in order for you to sanctify them. Omar loy, so the friend says, lo nosata li es shelcha, ela sheteato viavicha eichlim v'shoysin, umisratzin ze lo ze. Your whole intention for me to get this was so that you and your father can sit down at the feast, eat and drink, and come to good terms with one another. And the sin of a vow violation should then be upon me. In other words, by my facilitating this get together, I'm in effect facilitating the violation of a vow. Ukishebo hadavar lifnei chachomim omru. When this story came to the attention of the rabbis, they said, kol matona she'eno shimigdisha tei mikudeshes eino matona. Any gift that the potential for sanctifying it doesn't exist, it's not a gift. The Rashi says, Omru chachom kol matona she'eno kol kach birshus ha-mekabel. If it's not so much in the domain of the receiver of the gift, shimigdisha eino mekudesh she'eno matona, that if he were to try to sanctify it, it wouldn't become sanctified, so then it's not a gift. The Gemara asks what many might say is the obvious question. Maisa listar, is this Mishnah presenting an incident to contradict the opening law? Basically, when Mishnayos teach a law and the law is followed by an incident, the incident is there to illustrate the law, to support the law. In this case, we saw the opening law of the Mishnah, that when you have mudu hano mechavero, and there's no, he can't eat, he has nothing to eat, so you give it to someone as a gift, and that makes things allowed. Well, here you've got the father can't partake of the meal, the son gives the meal as a gift, and we say that it doesn't work. So that's what we call here in the Gemara, Maisa Listor, a Maisa to contradict the opening teaching of the Mishnah. The Gemara responds, Chisure Mechasra Vahochi Kotoni. The Mishnah, as is the case in many Mishnayos, was left deliberately abbreviated, and there are missing words by way of understanding. We're not saying missing text, but as far as the understanding is concerned, more information has to be filled in, and thusly one is to understand the Mishnah. It is true that a solution for someone that doesn't have what to eat is the madir giving the food to someone else as a gift. However, if the end result shows that the original gift was given only as a means of getting around a vow, that's the only reason the gift was given, then the gift is not a gift. Then it's forbidden. And in fact, an incident took place in Beis Choron where the end showed, demonstrated that the beginning, the original gift, was only as a way of getting around the vow. Let us look at the Ran commentary. You'll notice the Ran on the fifth line under the Gemara text. V'imolchiach soifu al tchiloso, shochiach soif dvorov al tchiloson, that the end of his statement sheds light on the beginning, namely, the beginning was, I'm giving this meal to you as a gift. However, what does he say at the end? What he says at the end, she'enon eloha roma, it's all a subterfuge. Kagon matnas beis choron, the asik lemilse biomar. He continued and he ended off his gift by saying, ve'enon lefonecha, they are given to you only in so far as enabling my father to come and partake of the meal. Aval kol shelo amar beferush, as long as that wasn't spelled out. Aval pi sheinin michiach beatzmo d'levle elokiach d'leshani mudar, even though the circumstances would appear to be a means of circumventing the restriction and enabling the mudar to benefit. Afilo achihavi matana. It's okay. It's a good. It's a gift, and it works as the opening of the Mishnah had taught. This is going to be further emphasized as we go on in the Gemara. We have diamonds that appear on the side under the Nosei Mivne heading. The diamond represents Shtei Lishonos Berava, two versions of Rava. Be'ezen Nusuch Amrinon Dematnas Beis Choron Oser. What version of statement, of vowing, or I should say of gift giving, will create the prohibition? The Gemara. Omar Rava. Loi shanu, elo di omar le. Lo shanu means the Mishnah that taught that the matnas beis choron was ineffective is if he said vi einon lefanecha elo kidei sheyavoi abo. I'm giving you this gift, the courtyard and the meal, and it's only in order for my father to be able to come and participate. As the Ran says, that's a t'nai gomor. That's an absolute condition. In other words, you have a gift given with stipulations. Aval amar leh, if the son had said to his friend that's going to receive the gift, I'm giving you this meal as a gift. Sheyehu lefanecha, they should be yours. Sheyavoy abo, that dad should be able to come. Midait chahu di amar leh, what is really happening is I'm giving you this as a gift, and if you, the receiver of the gift, want my father to come, so good, he'll be able to come. But it's your decision. It's with your approval that father would be coming. Then it's okay. So even though these two versions, they sound the same, but as many of you are probably well aware, when it comes to legal matters, the precise phrasing makes all the difference. So that if the gift was given with a formal language of stipulation, of condition, then it's a mere subterfuge and it will not be effective. The giving of the gift will not enable the father to partake. However, if it's stated this way, shiu lefanecha shiyavo abo, then it's okay. Lishno achrino amri lo. And now another version of Rava is Omar Rava Lo Taima, don't say Taima di Omar Le Einon Lefanecha Hudaser Abel Omar Le Hein Lefanecha Shiyavo Abba Vyochal Mutter. In other words, don't make the distinction like we did in the first version. Elo Afilu Omar Le Hein Lefanecha Yavo Abba Vyochal Oser. Even if he said, I'm giving you this meal, let the meal be in your possession, and father shall then be able to come and eat, that's forbidden. My time, why is that not acceptable? Answer, Se'udosoy moichachas alov. Literally, the meal proves what's happening. What do we mean by that? So we look in the Ran, on the fourth line from the end, Lishnachrin Amilo Marova, Lo Temo Taimodomale, Vehino Lefonecho, Hudi Osra, Elo Afilu Yovo Abo Vyoichal, Osra, even using that expression is not going to be effective in allowing the father to come. My Taimos Dosu Machachasolov, Tene de Baalmo Vyovo Lav Tanaihu. True, in general, phrasing the deal as that, the Yavo Abba, that is not a t'nai, that doesn't represent a condition, a stipulation in the gift. Nevertheless, Hocha Shaini, here we're not going to be so lenient, Mishum Danan Sadi, because we bear witness, Shain, although Meichin Sudal, the Nisui Benov, and Noisin Lach, a person doesn't prepare an entire wedding feast for his son and then give the feast over to someone else as a gift. Hilkoch Sudasa Machachasalov, the Maidomer Vyovel Abba, the fact that you have this meal, these circumstances, it just goes to show that that which he said to his friend, Vyovel Abba, and dad will then be able to come, really, Litanai Gomer Komer, he really stated that as a formal stipulation. And that means then that the whole gift is contingent on the father coming. And the father coming is in fact a violation of the original vow. The Gemara continues now at the top of Omid Beis. Hahu Gavra de Havale Bra da Vishomit Kifi de Kisna. It was a man that had a son that used to steal stalks of flax. Asrinu. The father was very upset with his son's behavior, and father prohibited the son from benefiting from his property. Omrule, they asked the father, Vi havoi bar broch tsumra bonamai, and if your grandson turns out to be a Talmud Chacham, so what's going to be then? In other words, a man has properties, he amassed wealth. He would only be too happy that his grandson, who was a Torah scholar, should benefit from this. But yet, the father here had prohibited his son from benefiting from the property. So how is it ever going to get to the grandson? Omar Lahon, so the father says, Likni Hodain. All right, says, let my son acquire the properties v'avoy bar breit sumrabona liknei, and if the grandson turns out to be a Talmud Chacham, so then let him acquire it. My, so the question is, what does that work? Is that an effective arrangement? The Rashi points out on the third line from the top, likni hodain. The Ihave bar breis rabbanan. There's a slight girsa change that you see in the Rashi that we have in the Gemara, and he says de'i instead of vi. The vav Rashi has as a dalit, and that makes a difference, which. What do we mean? That it's a gift that's a gift, a transfer that's conditional. And Rashi says, Mishum da'akati lo havi bar brei ba'olam, the grandson hasn't even been born yet. V'havi le mezake l'ubar, what you are doing here is you're transferring something to to a fetus, that which is as yet unborn. V'mezake l'ubar lo kona, and when you transfer something to an ubar, he doesn't acquire. Rashi, of course, is adding quite a bit that we don't see in our Gemara text. In the Rosh commentary, you can see the case spelled out very clearly. Omar Lahon Likni Hodain V'chulei Almenas Shiyikne Livno I Havei Tzur B'Rabbonan. So the father says, well then, let the wayward son acquire it, that if his son turns out to be a Talmud Chacham, a Torah scholar, so then he will acquire it. The Gemara continues with trying to answer what's the story here. And on the side of the under the Nosei, the topic heading, Kini Almanas Lahaknos, the triangle represents Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of alternating opinions. The inverted triangle, Dea, the lo mo'il. This triangle is misamein gam amakshim alman de sover de mo'il. We're going to use the triangle to highlight the opinion that this kind of deal does not work, and also to highlight those that question those who say that it does work. The triangle with the point facing upwards, dea de mo'il. opinion that it does work. David Dumya de Sudar, because this arrangement, this kind of deal, is like the case of the Kinyan Sudar, the Kinyan involving a handkerchief, which is very commonly used if you have Mr. A wants to acquire something for Mr. B. So Mr. A will take out a handkerchief and give it to Mr. B, and in exchange for that, Mr. B's item is transferred in ownership to Mr. A. That's a Kinyan Sudar. Now, as we go through the Gemara, we'll have to see what's the connection, what's the parallel to this. So now our Gemara continues. Amri Pumpa Disoi. They're the number one. They are the first opinion. Kni almanas lahaknos hu v'chol kni almanas lahaknos lo koni. What we've described here is you are to acquire in order for someone else to receive. That's kni, acquire, almanas lahaknos, with the condition that someone else will get it. That is considered ineffective. Rav Nachman Omar koni. Rav Nachman says it is effective. Kni almanas lahaknos essentially means that the person who is initially receiving it is receiving it only for the purpose of the item being transferred to a third party, to someone down the line. So that in our case, the wayward son isn't really becoming the owner of the property. He's becoming an owner of it only with respect to his being only as a result of he being a conduit through whom the grandson would receive it. So Pupadisoy says that is not considered a transaction. In order for a transaction to work, even a stipulated transaction, the receiver has to become a full-fledged owner of it, which is not the case over here. Rav Nachman says it does work. And he explains the Ha Sudra, the case of the handkerchief, Kni Amanas Lahaknos Hu. Practically speaking, Mr. A wants to acquire something from Mr. B. So Mr. A takes out a handkerchief, he gives it to Mr. B, only in order to cause the transaction to take place. And immediately after Mr. B takes the handkerchief, he gives it right back to Mr. A. So the whole receipt of the handkerchief, the sudra, was only for the purpose of creating the transfer of B's item to Mr. A, and immediately after that, the handkerchief gets transferred back. So you see, kini almanas lahaknos, take the handkerchief only for the purpose of transferring the other item to Mr. A, and it works. We take a look at the Ran. You'll notice on the second line under the Gemara text, the Hos Sudra Kni Amas Aklesu, the Chiyoev Kine Sudre Lamakne, when Mr. A, who is Kine, is trying to acquire something from Mr. B. And so Mr. A gives the handkerchief or the cloth, the Sudra, the cloth, to the Makne, to Mr. B. Eino Mizakeu Bo Lushum Dover El Shie Lo Bo Kinyin, Bechtei Shiyikne Lo or Shiyakne Lo Karkish Lo. Mr. B's taking of the handkerchief from Mr. A is only in order for the transfer of Mr. B's property to A to take place. And nevertheless, we still consider it a transaction. Through that sudar, Mr. A acquires the field. Alma kinyan ki hai kona. You see, therefore, that a transaction of that nature is effective. The Gemara continues, and notice the inverted triangle. This is an attack on what Rav Nachman just said. And we're also describing this as part of a long question, and there are two parts. You've got Rav Ashi, and later Rava. You can see we've used a double underline to highlight their names. These are two we'll say, attacks on Rav Nachman's explanation. Omar Rav Ashi, Uman le molon de sudra itofis le lo mitfis. Who is to say that in the case of the handkerchief that A gave to B, if Mr. B insists on keeping it, holding it, that he in fact would be able to keep hold of it? In other words, it's not a catalyst for effecting a transfer, but it's a real transfer. A gives to Mr. B a handkerchief, and in exchange for receiving the handkerchief, B gives the piece of property to Mr. A. So that's a real transfer. That's not kniyamanas lahaknos, and therefore, if Rav Nachman is going to base his idea that kni amanas lahaknos is effective based on the sudar, they're not parallel. And a further distinction, v'oid sudra kni amanas lahaknos v'koni min hashta. The sudar transfer, the sudar exchange, creates a transaction that takes place immediately. It takes place from right now. The property referred to above with the father and a wayward son and a grandson that might be a Talmud Chacham and eventually get the property. That's Le'emos Aikoni. When is the deal to take place? We're saying the father and is transferred to the son in anticipation of the grandson becoming a Talmud Chacham. When does the deal take place? When is it clinched? L'chihavi bar breit sum rabbonon. When the grandson becomes a Talmud Chacham. L'chi have hodar sudra l'more. But when that takes place, it's as if the handkerchief has already been returned to the original owner. Let us go over the Ran's explanation let's look at it together on the seventh line under the Gemara text. The Oth Sutra Kni Amanas Lahaknos Min Hashtahu. Klomar, l'chshetimtze lomar de sudra kni amanas lahaknos, when you want to describe, as Rav Nachman did, that the sudar type exchange is like kni amanas lahaknos, a transaction with a very specific intent that it should be transferred to a third party or to another party. Miu iko be chalam liyusa. In the case of a kinyan sudar, it has a certain strength or advantage. Davikoni kni amanas lahaknos min hashto. The transaction takes place immediately. I'm giving you the sudar for the property that you own to be given to me from right now. Mekamim demadu sudra makne lakina. Before Mr. B returns the handkerchief to Mr. A. So that when Mr. B draws the handkerchief, immediately Mr. B's property is transferred to A before B ever returns the handkerchief to Mr. A. The stam kinyan me'achshavu, a simple, unqualified transaction is understood to be from right now. Avol hocha, but in the case of the grandson that might be a Talmud Chacham story, the properties of the grandfather, when would they be acquired? Only when the grandson turns out to be a Torah scholar. It's pretty understandable that since the whole transaction to the son was only for the grandson to get it, the grandfather's intention was not for the son to acquire them until that moment that the grandson turns out to be a Talmud Chacham. What's he going to do with it in the meantime? And as the Gemara said, and at that moment, at that point in time, that later point in time, the Sudar, so to speak, has already been returned. Klomar. Klomar means we're not translating this, but there's an analogy here. Klomar, what does this mean? What do we mean to say? Kolsa, kolsa means ended, finished. Kolsa la oisa hakno. That transaction has already finished. Bein shikneu bekinyan, bein shikneu bechazaka. Whether the transfer was with a sudar or whether it was done through chazaka, meaning let us say that the grandfather gave to his son, we said, the properties in order for the grandson to eventually get it. So imagine he did that transfer with a handkerchief. So the grandfather gave to his own son, or let's say the son gave a handkerchief to his father in exchange for the property, but that property doesn't get transferred immediately. It's only going to get transferred maybe years later when the grandson turns out to be Talmid Chacham. And the handkerchief that might have been used, that the son gave to his father, the father would have returned the handkerchief already at that point, at that early point in time. And as the Gemara says, the kinyan, the means of transaction, has finished a long time before the actual transaction takes place. Hence, it's very different than the case of a standard kinyan sudar. When Mr. A gives the handkerchief to Mr. B, Mr. B is still holding on to the handkerchief while the kinyan, while the transfer of the property is taking place, so that the means of making the kinyan is still intact, is still extant while the transaction is taking place, making the cases very different. And hence Rav Ashi's objection to Rav Nachman's justification of Kni Amanas Vahakna is based on Sudar. Let's continue. Amar Le Ravel Rav Nachman. V'ha Matnas Beis Choron. Is it not so that the case of Matnas Beis Choron, the Kni Amanas Vahakna Su, the Lo Koni, in the case of Matnas Beis Choron, remember the son who had prohibited his father from benefiting? What did the son do upon making the wedding for his son, the grandson's getting married? So the father of the groom, he gave the property to so-and-so, to the outsider, Almanas, with the condition that the grandfather should be able to come. So it's Kini, you acquire Almanas Lactos in order for grandfather to come and participate. And the Mishnah said it doesn't work. So, do you not see from the case of Matnas Beis Choron a challenge to Rav Nachman? Now, you can see the triangle is going to appear with the point facing up. Rav Nachman, we defend Rav Nachman in the face of this question. Zimnin, Omar Lay, sometimes, according to some versions, or sometimes Rav Nachman would say, as far as Rava's question, Mishum de Sudasa Mochachasalov, the case of Matnas Beis Choron isn't a real kinyan. It's a subterfuge, and as we explained before, people don't give away meals. People don't give away wedding meals, and it was only a subterfuge and not with any matona intention whatsoever. That's why Matnas Beis Choron doesn't work. Vizimnin Omarle, and on other occasions Rav Nachman would say to Rava, Rabbi Eliezer hi diomar afilu vitur osur bemudur hano. If we look in the Ran toward the bottom of the page, Vizim Omarle Rabbi Eliezer hi diomar afilu vitur osur bemudur hano lav deshayach hochadim vitur elo de la dimyon ba'alman akte. Not that we're dealing here with an actual case of vitur, but it's an analogy. Tefihechi de machmir blazer benedarim tfei mi bedine momenis, where you find Rabbi Eliezer is more restrictive, more stringent in with regard to the rules of vowels than the rules of standard monetary law. In terms of general monetary law, the walking on someone's property does not constitute theft. And when someone prohibits someone else from benefiting from one's property, the mere walking on the property constitutes a violation of the vow, according to Reb Elezer. So too over here, with regard to laws of a monetary nature, kni amanas lahaknos is effective. Mishum chumra dinadora mamrinon de lo koni. However, when there is an issue of a vow involved, like in the case of the matnas beis choron, there kni amanas lahaknos will not work. So that's the second answer that Rav Nachman would on occasion give, that the matnas beis choron represents Rabbi Eliezer's shita, that holds that with regard to nedarim, things that in general people would vitor, means overlook, and wouldn't constitute a monetary issue, when it comes to nedarim, we are more restrictive. And I just we'll repeat ourselves, so that even though in general, when it comes to dine momentous, like the case above with the father and the grandfather and the grandson, there might be a Talmud Chacham, that's a monetary concern. So there, or maybe we could say in more general terms, kni amanas lahaknos would work, but when it comes to, we'll say, a subterfuge around a vow, I might want to point out that it's true the case on the top of the Omid also involved a vow. Asrinu l'nichseilei, it said on the second line from the top. But nevertheless, the ultimate beneficiary was the grandson. He was not the subject of the vow, and that's in contrast to the father in the case of the matnas beis choron, where he was the subject of the vow. And hence, in order to circumvent the violation of the vow on by the subject of the vow, we will not allow a kni amanas lahaknos. The Gemara raises a question. Tanan, omru chachomim, kol. The word kol is squiggle underline. It's an inclusive expression, and it says kol matana she'eino she'mikdishote mekudeshes eino matana, any gift that when given cannot be sanctified by the receiver of the gift, it's not a gift. So that is a quote from the Mishnah. Kol lasuye mai, the kol expression, this inclusive expression, what is being included? Lav la suye ha milsa de shomet bekifi. Isn't it coming to include a case like above, where the son was cut out of the inheritance? The son was stealing the flax stalks, namely the father of this wayward son. When presented with the possibility that the grandson might be a Talmud Chacham, so he says, okay, let the son get it in order for the grandson, who, when he becomes a Talmud Chacham, will acquire the property. Can the son sanctify it? Obviously, no. He's not in the position to sanctify the property. Oh, so if he's not in the position to sanctify the property, the gift, the transfer, doesn't work. The Gemara, we can say Rav Nachman, would respond, loy. That's not what the Mishnah intends to include as being a non-matona, but rather, lasuye lishno basro deshmaitse derava. We have a little star drawing your attention to Omid Aleph at the bottom of Omid, three lines up from the bottom of Omid Aleph. What the Mishnah intends by saying kol matana sheno is coming to include the teaching on the second version of Rava, where Rava said, not only when there's a clear stipulation of the gift given only so that father can come and partake of it, that is forbidden, but even where the language is not such a, let's say, clear, explicit stipulation, but using the language of the Gemara, where even if the son had said to his friend, "Hein lefonecha yovo abo v'yochal," but even that case will be prohibited. And that's what the Mishnah's inclusive expression of kol is coming to include. But as far as kni almanas lahaknos is concerned, Rav Nachman will tell you that is effective, and the Mishnah had no intention of prohibiting a case of kni almanas lahaknos, even in a case of the wayward son featured above. And hence Rav Nachman will maintain that the grandson would be able to acquire the properties though the father had been cut out of it. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.